Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm your host, Tori, here with my co-host, Rhiannon Huff. And y'all, today we are diving into part two of our conversation on the sign buying journey.
Yes. So, Tori, last episode, we laid out some of the groundwork of the topic that we're covering, which is the importance of on-site branding and how to choose a sign company. And of course, one of those juiciest subjects is pricing. And last week, we were kind of just touching the little bits and pieces of it. And this week, we're diving more into the step-by-step process. We want to cover everything from survey to design to installation, all the things. So let's start. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive in here for our first topic, which is conducting a site survey. And so remember, the key to success throughout this entire process is obviously to partner with a sign company who can help you decide what your process is going to be and take that burden off of your shoulders entirely. So your project manager should walk with you throughout the entire process. They should help you provide quality service and experience and make sure that your signage is made with quality, it's manufactured on time, up to your standards, helping you decide on what maybe is good for your brand, even from start to finish. Maybe you don't have a full idea. But generally, the first step in this process for site branding is to survey the existing site. And this helps you and your sign company understand what exactly the needs of the location are. What do we need to do first? What are we working with? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that starts with an existing building, or sometimes we need to also work with our installers, our general contractors, for what's going to be there in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are just so many questions that have to be answered during the survey process, right? What does the electrical hookups look like? Is there easy electrical attachments in the facade? Does that need to be added? What is the building made out of? Does the facade need to be repaired? Is there an existing sign that we need to decommission before, and that facade that we need to repair before we can put up a new sign? All of these questions have to be answered in this process. And this really just helps you determine what design in the future also is going to fit the space. So what are the hands-on tangible things that we're seeing, but also what's the bigger picture of the layout of the location, and how are we going to make sure that the sign that we put up on that wall or put up on that property really speaks to your brand and who your business is? And of course, it's going to help us understand how we can comply with local regulations. So there are just a lot of questions that need to be answered through this process. Sometimes, though, we have clients who come to us and say, I don't really want to pay X amount of money for you to survey my sites, or especially for those folks who might have multiple sites, right? Survey costs, they can add up sometimes. And so, Rhi, what do we tell people when someone comes to us and says, I want to save a little money and do these surveys myself? How do we handle that question?
That's a good question, Tori, because for us as project managers on our side, sometimes it's hard to get information that we truly need, even from our experienced sign techs.
Yep.
As the project manager, as the salesperson, once we talk to the client, we need some very detailed information. And it is so important to have a sign company that knows exactly what they're doing, exactly what they're looking for. They're very versed in signage, go out there. And that way we can work with them directly if there is some missing pieces that we need to add to the survey. Also, we have a very long list for our survey questions. And we even have, I have texts that will draw out what is there existing. For example, if there's a large pylon sign there and we're going to churn out the face for the new customer, we're going to get a new face in there. I need to know the cut size, the visual opening. What actually is in that sign right now? Where is the access to the sign? What is going on here? So what material is there? Is there LED lights in there, or are there old fluorescent lights? Do we need to, if there are old fluorescents, what size of fluorescents are in there? Because again, we're probably going to switch them out with LED sticks. So there's just so much detailed information that I would really suggest to, it's something that you don't want to pinch your pennies on. We really need that accurate information again. So in the future, we don't have those change orders because we have a mistake on the survey. Another thing is a lot of our clients, they want the biggest bang for their buck. So most of our clients, this is not every single brand, but a lot of our clients, they want to look at a building and say, what is the largest sign that is allowed on this building? And so again, we are not only looking at the facade, what type of materials there, we are a lot of times measuring, not a lot of times, every time we go, we're measuring the entire potentially side of that building, height and width. Because when we go turn and we go to codes and we go to permitting, we need to know exactly what size of sign is allowed per code on that building. And that way we can maximize that visual logo for that client and make it as big as we possibly can. Also, that survey, depending on what is existing, we may want to turn around and suggest something a little bit different to the client. So that's also another reason. Again, let the experts do what we have been doing for a long time, and with our partners that have also been doing this for a long time, because that's happened so many times as well, is we get there, we see what's there, and we're like, eh, I really don't like this. I would really suggest us doing this type of signage instead. Raceway versus just a flush-mounted sign. There's a big difference to a look on that. And again, can we do it? What does the city say? There's just so many details, and I highly suggest if somebody wants to do their own survey to go ahead and go with your sign company on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, all overall, these site surveys, they just help in creating a design that really fits your space, that's true to your brand, and of course, that complies with those local regulations.
So we're going to dive in into topic two, which is permitting, codes, and variances. Hey, Tori, this can get a little intense.
Yes,
we're
yes,
dealing it can. With rules, we're dealing with cities, we're dealing with all sorts of different people, different pieces that all have to come together to make sure that we get this sign on the wall. And permitting is in codes and everything. That's something that our project managers, it's really critical for them to handle those, again, from start to finish. They're talking to the city. They're talking to potentially a variance company, if you want a bigger sign. Often cities and towns, they have specific restrictions, codes,
very
zoning
specific
laws.
Often.
Oh, yeah. Downtown Chicago. We've talked about this in the past, where your codes and zoning is extremely difficult and extremely restricted. And as time goes, those codes can often change. So for example, you have a very large pylon sign and it's grandfathered in because right now, if somebody next door wanted to build a large pylon sign, that's not part of the code. Or that's not allowed anymore. So that's also something when we have older buildings or older locations, we also need to look at what codes have changed, how things change, because always ever evolving. But also, we as a sign company might tell you, hey, I may not want to change this too much, basically make it a like for like change, because this sign is grandfathered in. If we do anything very different, it's not going to be allowed. You may also need to get a permit to install the sign. And again, permits vary based on city to city, state to state, and project management handles that, all aspects from that, from start to finish. Permitting time can vary from city to city. So sometimes it can take 3 to 4 weeks. Sometimes it can take months to get permits, depending on where you're located, how backed up that city is, what their process is. And you really need a sign company that knows what they're doing in order to handle this so they can help you back up that process and push that through. Because if you don't get that permit on time, there's a problem getting potentially that sign on the wall when that location opens. And that's a no-go. And so sometimes you can also get what is called a variance. And this helps you navigate those restrictive regulations. And that just helps potentially get something on this on the building that maybe wasn't allowed prior to this variance. Tori, do you want to tell us a little bit more about what exactly a variance is?
Yeah. So a variance, y'all, is essentially when your local government will accept documentation from you that accepts your project from whatever those code or zoning ordinances are, right? Whatever those regulations are, the local government is saying, okay, it's okay for you to be outside of whatever our parameters are. So this is important, especially for brands that maybe have really stringent brand guidelines, or for whatever reason, you don't feel that the regulations of that particular municipality are going to facilitate showcasing your brand well and allowing for easy navigation is another example of why you might want to seek a variance, right? That protects the safety of the community that your location is in. When you're seeking a variance, it's really important to first understand, of course, that signs are a form of speech that's protected by the First Amendment. And while there may be limitations on time and place, those limitations that the municipality is placing on you has to be justified and reasonable. So proper visibility, when we're thinking about size or placement, obstructions, decoration, those are key to providing that adequate notice for safety, like I mentioned before. That could be a key in helping your variance get passed through. Another critical element to gaining that sign code variance or a special exception includes just really clearly determining how that signage just really promotes public safety. We do have a blog on our website all about variances, and you can read that there. We'll also include a link in the show notes below so that you can learn a little bit more about variances. Is that something that you might want to be seeking for particular locations for your brand? All that stuff is really important, though, in making sure that you're protecting the integrity of your brand across multiple sites.
And it's also, it's one of those things that until you dive into the sign world, a lot of people don't even know variances or all these laws and everything, codes even exist. So again, having that sign company that is well-versed, they know what they're doing, they can help you through this process because it can really get bogged down. Mm-hmm. It's also important to remember that these steps kind of commingle. They work together. For example, a requirement may dictate some part of your sign design. So we may go in wanting one thing and then we figure out that the city won't allow something we wanted. Some cities require all of the, say in a strip mall, all of the signage to be very similar to the stores next to them. Sometimes you go into a location, say you have blue and red lights on your sign. However, this location only requires white lights. You can only have white lights illuminating your sign. So there's so many different aspects. Mm-hmm. And this is what that sign company can help you do and help you dictate what is best for your design and your sign in this area. And if you do have to seek a variance, then they can help you along with this. And it's just critical. So your sign partner should be able to 100% understand local restrictions, obtain permits and variances if necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And to give y'all a little bit of a deeper look into what our process looks like as far as code checks, obtaining variances, design, as far as all that goes, and how do those things weave together, we typically start by doing some due diligence, right? And we're going to do a code check on the location, the municipality of where your signs are going up. And in that code check, we're looking at what those zone laws are, what those regulations are that will determine size, shape, color, how it's attached to a facade or what it can look like if it's freestanding. And then that kind of determines how we design something. And so then we'll design that sign, we'll seek approval. And then, of course, through that design, we're going to then obtain budget approval. So sometimes these steps can interweave a little bit, but like Rhiannon said, that's where your sign company comes in. And they should be able to help you understand all these different difficult legal issues and make sure, again, that we're just really protecting your brand and that your signage is true to who you are.
This is a headache and a lot of details that you as a customer shouldn't have to worry about. This is our 100%. Job. This is what we do. This is what we're versed in. we know and understand if you're reading through a code check, sometimes you're like, what is this?
Yeah,
is this
exactly.
What exactly does it mean? Because again, not even every city writes their code checks the same. So we actually have people that go through those and make sure that we know exactly what that city requires. And then also on top of everything else, just know that at the end of the day, this process, as detailed as it may be, like she said, first we do the code check, then we have to take it to design. So once we figure out with the client what we want, then we take it to our design. We may even have to get engineering involved. We may have mm-hmm. to get an engineer to engineer that sign and that structure to make sure that it is safe. It's a long, detailed process, but for the client, it should be a fun one. This is a process yeah. that we should handle the details. You just get to make the fun decisions of yes or no, that looks great once we have the design for you to look at. So it should be a fun process for you. And if you're getting caught up in this back and forth, nitty gritty frustration, sometimes we cannot push cities to go faster. Just know that sometimes we are doing the best we can. We follow up to get those permits approved. But I'm talking the details of everything. You shouldn't have to worry about that. Your sign company should handle that.
Okay, y'all, step three of the signage process is designing your sign. This is where it gets really fun. This is where we can get a little bit creative. And this is where our design, we call them artists and designers, but they're also engineers in a lot of senses. They're just, our design team is incredible. And the people who work on this stuff are really just so creative and so thoughtful. So your project manager in this step is going to work with you. They're going to work with that designer. And then, of course, our manufacturing team to really bring your sign vision to life. And sometimes we have clients who come to us and they have a sign package all fleshed out with all the different sign types that they need. And their designs are already selected and they've got site surveys completed. Sometimes we get that. Other times we have clients. In fact, oftentimes we have clients who come to us and they need support on that design. And so we just allow our design team to really have at it in this stage. So I want to dig into what people should think about as you're designing a sign. And of course, your sign company, your sign partner should be able to lean into this a little bit, offer suggestions, recommendations on what would be best based on all of those criteria that we've talked about in the previous sections of this episode. What are the permitting needs? What does the site survey reveal, right? You've got to consider, of course, your brand values. All those are components to think about. But as far as the actual design goes, what are some things that we should think about?
Well, first and foremost, as we are going through this process, there is a difference between a spec of the sign and a rendering. So
yes.
A lot of what our customers want to see is they want to see a rendering. What mm-hmm. exactly is that sign going to look like on this building? And we go through multiple different phases of this. So where we'll put a rendering together and that's not exactly what they were thinking, we'll have to tweak it and we'll finally get something that they like. And then we got to figure out, okay, how do we make that work? So yeah. Then you have the internal components of everything and making sure, okay, did what we envision actually work in reality? And there's times that we have to definitely, again, we've just celebrated our 90th anniversary for North American Signs, and we still get clients that give us doozies. But that's awesome because what you're thinking about in this is how does my brand, how does my logo stand out? Mm-hmm. One thing that we get frequently from clients is a rebrand. So this happens all the time with clients and some very, very large brands, some smaller brands. Sometimes we get where they started off as a smaller company and they have a logo idea, but basically maybe not every location is the same. And they want to unify everything and make sure that everything is very unified and the same and everything is cohesive. So there's different aspects to what you want to look for when you're doing this. And we as partners with our clients help them decide, okay, what step in the process are we at? So I think that's first and foremost is what step in the process are we at? And yeah. Do you like your current logo? Does your current logo work? Is your current logo recognizable? Is it illuminated? Is it not illuminated? Do we want to illuminate it? A lot of people are going more for like even the retro feel of the neon. And we just left Vegas. Tori and I were in Vegas for a week and saw a lot of this. And in Vegas is like the quintessential. Absolutely. If you want to see a sign, you go to Vegas. Right?
Yep.
Because they are everywhere. And signage is the thing out there. And I'm telling you, Tori, again, even from a sign company, I was looking at some of these signs. I'm like, how did they do that? That is so unique. That's so genius. You want to look for something that is eye-catching, that is recognizable, that is going to be unique to your brand if you possibly can. Obviously, depending on your industry, that's also going to make a difference. The other thing is budget. You want to find out what that budget is from the very beginning when you're designing a sign. Because like we've said in the past over and over again, not all signs are created equal. Are we doing normal channel letters? Are we doing a very intricate cabinet? Are we doing something that has pocketed plex, which potentially we can't access in the future, but looks really cool? Are we doing faux neon? All of these, of course, are a range of prices. So that's definitely important to look at. So when designing that sign, work with your sign company and let them know what you're thinking, what you're wanting. And the sign company should be able to steer you towards and help you develop that logo or that brand that is going to make you stand out.
Yeah, it's so true. And to tag on to the Las Vegas anecdote there, it's a hotel or a motel here in Houston, and I drive past it just on the highway somewhat regularly, and they've got this huge, I think it's the place is called the Colorado, okay, huge sign. The entire thing is all LEDs. It's lit up. It's flashing. It's changing colors. It's very eye-catching, and I never really knew what it was, and so the next time I drove past it, paid a little closer attention to the building that this sign was in front of, okay? This sign is, I don't even know how tall. Very, very tall. Okay. You can see it from the highway. Okay. I'm not good at estimating heights or distances, but looking at the building as I'm driving past, and it's just like a pretty average looking motel situation. Okay. But the signage made me think that this is some wild, experiential, luxurious, fabulous, cosmopolitan type experience when in reality, it's probably just a fairly average situation, motel deal, right? But the sign makes a huge difference, right? And it even convinced me, someone who works for a sign company, that, wow, they must really have something fantastic going on here to have a sign that looks like this. Just keep that in mind. We're not saying you need to spend $100,000 on some huge freestanding sign that's going to catch the eyes of people from the local interstate. But is there a way that your design can be just a little more eye-catching than the signage around you? It's going to give you that boost in sales. Research has shown that your signage can increase your sales from 10 to 20%, especially in those retail situations. But it's true. It can be a really compelling brand element, even for those folks who are in B2B situations, right? We work with clients who are in logistics and transportation. Storage. We work with all those different kinds of clients. And even for them, even though it's not B2C where they have the potential to make an immediate sale, right? You're still reinforcing your brand. You're increasing that brand awareness and your signage is just such a key player in doing that, right? It's your best salesperson and you don't have to pay benefits or healthcare for them. Okay. So really invest in your signage.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think a lot of people now they're using signage more for the atmosphere, the experience. Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about the retro faux neon, where we're getting that really unique look where people just they look at the sign and, like Tori said, almost know what you're going to get when you go in. Mm-hmm. But again, we're doing a lot of really unique interior design work too. Mm-hmm. I don't know, a lot of people have seen like the moss wall with the neon lettering in the middle of it. People are using signs now because of Instagram and TikTok and all that. Mm-hmm. They're looking at it as like photo ops. people want their place to be a destination as well. So again, can we do something a little bit different? You know, you see that in restaurants and retail, but can you do something a little bit different and make that customer experience just even come alive a little bit more? But also one thing that you need to take in mind is, depending on what you choose and what you want, how you want to go forward, not all manufacturing facilities do that type of work. Yeah. So you need to figure out from your sign company, can they make it in-house? Do they have an in-house in it, if that's what you want? Do they partner with somebody that they partnered with for a long time that can make that? What's the manufacturing capabilities? Is this a unique situation where potentially it's, again, not just your run-of-the-mill channel letters? It's going to be a little bit more unique. How are we going to manufacture that? Where are we going to manufacture that? What difference is that going to make in regards to shipping and logistics of all of that? So there's a lot of steps that go into the design. And again, like Tori said in the beginning, it is the fun, creative aspect of it. And it should be the fun part of it. But also have patience with your sign company in this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's just a miscommunication a little bit. Sometimes clear communication is so critical in this stage to make sure that you get what you're wanting. Sign companies completely understanding what you want and how to make that design and that sign come alive. It's accurate. It's inspiring to your clients. And we want to make sure that your brand, your logo, the integrity of that is upheld no matter what location you are, from the West Coast to the East Coast. That sign is going to stand out.
All right, y'all. Step four of this process is manufacturing and then installation. So this is where we see that design that we talked about in our last segment come to life, when we finally get to see that signage created and then put up on the wall. Once we've nailed down that design, we're going to send your sign off to our manufacturing team. And this is where, y'all, we could get into a whole lot of technical terminology and processes, but that's not really my forte, in all honesty. And there are tons of awesome resources out there on the details of how signs are made. And you can go ahead and research that. A lot of elements, right? Manufacturing, materials, shipping, all impacts how long it takes to manufacture that sign. Isn't that right, Ree?
Absolutely. And as the client, that's one of the things, once you've nailed down your sign, actually probably even prior to the design, this is something, a question up front. What are the manufacturing turn times? That varies throughout the year. Sign companies do have busy seasons. That varies in regards to, obviously, what the state of the economy is. Can we get all materials? What sign have we designed? What are we looking for? Do you have a really specific color vinyl that potentially is hard to source? You have a lot of colors, for example, of vinyl that are the common. And obviously the blacks, the whites, the navies, things along those lines. But if you have a very specific color, and we do have clients that they want that very specific color that nobody else really has, or that not a lot of people have, just keep in mind that sometimes sourcing that vinyl can be a little bit difficult. And sometimes we have to look for different materials or different manufacturers of that. So there's just a lot that goes into it. Many manufacturers are still dealing with supply chain issues. And so there could be delays with that. So I think that's one thing, that you have that transparent conversation with your sign company up front in the process. What is the manufacturing turn time? What is that going to look like for you? Are we making it in-house? Are we shipping it out? Is it one manufacturer? Are we doing multiple manufacturers? Are we checking that everything is the same with that? Because again, that brand integrity is so important. I mean, we want to make sure that the quality of that sign is the same throughout. So questions for you as clients, definitely to answer. And that varies. And hold, obviously, I'm not going to say that things don't happen, because they do. But if a sign company gives you a certain time frame, they should be able to fall within that time frame, especially up front. You don't, again, want a lot of those change orders, because you have a set date of when that store, when that location is going to open. Give us as much time as possible. Obviously, that's what we like, as much time as we possibly can. Not right. to say that we don't do crunch orders. We do. We can. We are the chaos coordinators, as we talked about. We can move and groove and switch things around and do things like that. However, the more time, the better. This is a detailed process, like Tori talked about. There's a lot that goes into this. Things do happen, and sometimes we have to adjust for that. But at the end of the day, the goal is to get that sign on the wall, manufactured in time before that store opens. So if your sign company gives you a time frame, make sure that they're holding to that story and they're holding to that time frame, unless something chaotic happens, a hurricane yeah. or something crazy.
Right.
So yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing to think about too, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, is that for a company like us here at North American Signs, right, we partner with manufacturing companies, signage manufacturing companies at a few key points across the U.S., right? And these are people we've worked with for years. We really trust them. But let's say you've got a location or a few locations in California, and you don't want to worry about the shipping costs from that sign being manufactured here at our headquarters in South Bend. Maybe we'd source that out to our trusted partner in Nevada or something. And then that shipping cost is decreased because we've done that manufacturing somewhere else. So those are important questions to ask at the beginning of the process, right? Even though manufacturing and installation are obviously our final steps here, those are questions that you want to ask up front, get answered, because this stage of the process, manufacturing and installation, right? This is ideally, you're sitting pretty, right? As the client, you don't have a lot to worry about here. You're maybe confirming an install date. Maybe you want to be there on site for the installation. And you want to, of course, then confirm that installation was completed. But the bulk of the work at this point for you is already done. So your project manager is really handling this process from start to finish. They're coordinating with that manufacturing team to make sure, of course, that sign is fabricated correctly. They're making sure that it's being shipped safely and efficiently. They're making sure that it's getting installed on time. And here at NAS, we partner with performance rated vendors from across the country to make sure, like Rhiannon said, that sign is getting installed on time and with the quality, of course, that your brand really deserves. But Rhiannon, sometimes we do get questions about whether or not we self-perform installations. We hear this quite a bit, especially when we're out at trade shows. And Rhi, how are we going to answer that question?
Oh, that's another juicy one, Tori. again, I like to be as transparent as I possibly can with my clients. Mm-hmm. For me, it doesn't make any sense not to be, because then you have missing pieces. You have things that are assumed. It's a disaster waiting to happen. So I like to be as transparent with my clients as possible. So with just to piggyback on what Tori was saying in regards to the installation, and this is where the client's sitting pretty, make sure another question that you ask is what that communication is going to look like during this process. So you have project managers that should be communicating with you throughout these processes and letting, just like Tori said, when that installation date is, we got the permits, things are good to go there, so that you don't have to reach out constantly. We do this through multiple different ways, through client websites. We have a lot of clients have basically spreadsheets that go through and basically say, yes, this part of the process is done. It's checked. This is when the date was, just so you can see the movement of that process. So make sure that you ask up front, what is the communication process during the manufacturing, during the installation, so that you know what to expect. And that way, if for some reason that's not happening, you can call them out on that and say, hey, here's what I expect. And I need to know on my side what's happening. So you always have a team behind you and you need to know what's going on so that everything else falls in line. So back to your original question. Do we self-perform? No, we do not. Quite frankly, if there is a national sign company that is saying they are self-performing, it's most likely going to be a franchisee type of situation, which is basically similar to what we do, except we don't slap a name on the side of a truck and say we're North American Signs, but we've just been working with you for 20 plus years. Again, you need to know what the vetting process is with your national sign company. How do they pick vendors? How do they pick manufacturers? What does that process look like? If something goes wrong, what does that process look like? However, I also want to know upfront exactly what they're doing. Some industries, it's a lot easier to say they self-perform, whether it be heating, cooling, that HVAC, roofing, materials, different parts of the system. But in regards to signage, there are local sign companies across the entire U.S. We have partnered with the majority of them for 20, 30 plus years, some of them. And we have a very strict vetting process and trusted vendors that it's those hire slow, fire fast type of situation. When we start working with a vendor, we want to know exactly what their process is, make sure that they fall within our restrictions, our codes, that they fall within our quality. And then if for some reason that doesn't happen and they do not meet our needs, or obviously in this world, there's a lot of changes, a lot of doors that are closing, those technical skills are getting lowered. Potentially, we have a sign company that closes. We need to know how to pivot and pivot quickly, because that sign needs to still get on the wall. So yes, know what their capabilities are, know what their capabilities are in what states, what their capabilities are in certain regions, what they do if something goes wrong. This industry, something goes wrong, but we do not fully self-perform. We do have a local team in the South Bend area, about 150-mile radius, that will self-perform. But outside of that, it is all subcontracted partners. Not vendors, partners. And I think that's the big difference.
All right, y'all. After you get that sign on the wall, the final step of this process is, of course, as with any important asset, you have to maintain it, okay? And y'all, we have talked about this 100 times over on the podcast, but it definitely bears repeating. Performing preventative maintenance on your sign, as I said, the same way that you would with any valuable asset, is truly the best way to preserve its value and really make sure that it continues to work for you and not against you, right? You think about a sign that's missing a face or that has faulty lighting, right? We had storms here in Houston a few months ago, and I still am ton of signs, even as I'm just driving down the highway, that are missing faces, that are damaged, that have terribly chipped paint, faded colors, whatever that is. And it really detracts from their brand. And I drove past one just the other day where, no lie, it was a really tall, big pylon sign, and the entire face was just like hanging off of the frame. Okay. And I couldn't even tell you what the business was because I couldn't see the face of the sign. So that's a case where your signage is actually working against you. It's telling me as a potential customer, wow, these people really don't care about their brand, so much to the point that I can't even find their facility because their sign doesn't tell me anything about who they are, right? These are important things to keep in mind. Ree, this is what your department does all the time, right? Is maintenance, and particularly preventative maintenance is something that we really encourage our clients to consider. What does preventative maintenance look like for your clients? What should a preventative maintenance program look like for signage, for your building, for your facility?
So this is my baby, yes. And goodness, I know we've talked about this on the podcast, but it is
many times.
Definitely, as we're looking at, okay, here's the whole entire sign buying process. Don't skip this part.
Seriously.
We go from the concept of the sign to designing, to manufacturing, to installation. And we do all this fun stuff and we work to get all that, your brand on the wall. Don't forget this stuff. This is so crucial and so important. I was just looking at a building recently, and I know that they redid the entire building. Everything was great. Everything was pretty. The sign was dirty. And I was like, ooh, everything looks so good. Everything looks so nice. Oh, but that sign is just, it's detracting from everything else and all that hard work that went into everything else. So like Tori said, this is the step that is so important in regards to you worked hard getting that on the wall. You spent money. You had your budget. Let's keep it going as long as we possibly can. And that's where my team comes in. So talk with your sign company up front. What does your preventative maintenance program look like? Ask them. What can we do to maintain this asset as long as we possibly can? What can we do to make sure that our sign is looking top notch? And I think a lot of times people go through that process of set it and forget it. Unfortunately, it's there. Yeah, it's not so top of mind. It's not something they think about until it's broken. And then it says something really bad that you really don't want to be known for because you have certain letters out. It says some bad words in there, or it says something funny. And then people take pictures and they post it on Instagram and they post it on Facebook. Or, oh my goodness, the sign's out and the regional manager is coming. Let's do that beforehand. Let's check that beforehand. So one thing I do a lot with my clients is let's do nighttime photo surveys, because unfortunately, we don't always have employees that are there in the times where our signs are on. So let's do photo surveys. Again, that depends on the client, but I would suggest at least twice a year. We usually do spring and fall. In the beginning of spring, right? In the beginning of fall, go through all your locations. Let's do photo surveys. What do we need? What is our client that is driving by seeing that we are not seeing because we're not there at night? Make sure that you know what your client is seeing. It is so crucial and so important. Then you can also look at cleaning programs. What are the extension of your signs, which are also awnings? Okay, so your sign may look great. It's on, it's nice, it's bright and flashy, but that awning looks filthy, dirty, and terrible. It's one of those things that, are there anything else that is an extension? So have those checked regularly, whether we set up a cleaning program with the signage and the awnings. Also, an internal component check. Make sure that everything's working. Also, we have an LED retrofit program that's constantly happening. The other thing that I am telling you from the very beginning is to know what the warranty program is on that sign. Your sign company should be able to tell you. It varies. And there's usually a difference between the actual warranty on the parts and the warranty on the service. So what is both? What are both? Your sign company should be able to tell you. How long will we service this for free? Because I put it up in 3 months, I'm going to be really upset if it's out in 3 months. So what does that warranty look like? Have that written out so you know exactly what to do. And if the sign itself is out of warranty, but the parts are still under warranty, your sign company should be able to handle that as well. They should be able to take care of that. They should be able to take care of that warranty for you and get reimbursed for that. So if power supply goes out, LEDs go out, LED fails, obviously happens, your sign company should be able to handle that and know when that sign was installed and whether it is in warranty or not. So those are just a few things. But my biggest thing is, obviously, emergency repairs happen. We are a reactive department. That's what we do. But there are so many things that you can do for the preventative side. And my team, we're here for our clients 24/7. Literally, things happen 24 hours a day. We have an on-call service. That's the other thing you need to know is, if something happens, what do? Who do we call? How do we get somebody on site? What's that turn time that we get somebody on site? What is exactly emergency? We've talked about that also. And what's preventative? What's something that we can handle? If we have something that, if your team is not recognizing, this keeps happening, this is a recurring issue, as something's wrong. We need to go back and figure out why. What's going on? Is there a loose wire? Was this not connected right to begin with? What is happening? Is there a faulty product in there that we just need to change it out? So your sign company should be recognizing those things as well. And you should be able to rely on those.
Yes.
Not only, also the last thing I'm going to say is, find out exactly what your sign company's scope of work is for the repairs and maintenance side. So a lot of times there's a little bit more of a scope of work other than just signs, just straight signs. A lot of times sign companies work on awnings, like I talked about, parking lot lights. Sometimes we do interior lighting, sometimes minor electrical. So in the future, when these things fail and it's those things that kind of fall under different umbrellas. You're not really sure who to go to. Find out in the beginning, what exactly is that scope of work that repair and maintenance team does? And again, what's the protocol for that? How do we handle that? What can we do? Mm-hmm. Can we go direct? Do we need to send an email? What's the process? So last thing I'm going to say is don't just set it and forget it. It's very important.
Oh. It's y'all, it's like buying a Mercedes and then not changing the oil. That's stupid. You would never do that, right? You would never do that. And your sign, in some cases, is as expensive or more expensive than a Mercedes. So really, this is an asset worth maintaining, worth caring about. It's the same. We can analogize it to your health too, right? You're not going to just not go to the dentist because you went one time, right? That's silly. It needs continual maintenance. And of course, as is the argument with all preventative maintenance, the little things that you do that are less costly but more regular help you out to avoid larger repairs in the future as well. Keeping all of that in mind, this is not a sales pitch, y'all. This is literally the best advice that we can give you about how to take care of your most important brand asset. Mm-hmm.
So, Tori, we went through 5 steps of the sign buying process. And there are a lot of details. We said a lot. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of stuff. Juicy tidbits that we said. But overall, if you could just summarize it real quick and say, what is what you took away or what is the most important thing that you would tell somebody if they were in the beginning of their sign buying process? What would that be?
I think this is true for everyone, but it's especially true for folks who are not as experienced with signage, right? You can go through these steps, but the most important thing is going to be making sure that you're asking the right questions of your sign company and really making sure that you've got the right sign partner, okay? Because if you get halfway through the manufacturing process and realize that there's a discrepancy in what you've budgeted for, right? Because of a lack of communication or the fact that you didn't ask the right questions, right? That can be an expensive mistake, right? Or perhaps you realize that maybe what we've decided on design-wise isn't really true to our brand, right? Ask these questions, the ones that we've suggested throughout this episode. Ask those questions up front, okay? Ask them right at the beginning. Make sure that you get input from your project management team, from the designers, the manufacturers. And if your sign company is really worth their salt, they're going to be able to anticipate these questions and they're going to have those really good answers for you to hit all of these different stages if they're good at what they do. If your sign company can't answer these questions, maybe it's time to look in another direction. But making sure that you're really educated about this asset. Again, it's not cheap, okay? And it probably shouldn't be cheap because it's a huge representative of your brand. But again, to use that car analogy that we mentioned earlier, you're not going to buy a Mercedes and not know if it's electric or combustion, right? You're going to have these questions that you want answered. You're going to have questions about how am I going to finance this vehicle? You wouldn't just sign on the dotted line and not know what your monthly payment is, right? You have to have the information. So make sure that you're having those quality conversations and communication with your sign vendor, your sign partner.
Absolutely. And I think I agree with everything that you said. The only quick thing I would add would be sometimes when we are new to partnering up with a new vendor or a new partner, you want to hold things a little bit tight to your chest because you're just stepping your toes into that relationship. But look at it as a marriage. You want this person, you want this partner to know everything about you, know what your expectations are, even if you think they're maybe not as conventional. Unfortunately, the sign buying process is not this black and white, we do cookie cutter thing that we do for everybody. Every client, every situation is unique. So make sure that you are transparent, fully transparent. If there's something that you're not understanding that your sign company is trying to tell you, flat out say, I don't understand what you're saying here. Can you explain that to me in a different way? Or help me understand this a little bit better. Because you don't want to get to the end of this, like Tori said, and have there be a miscommunication and everything is not exactly how you expected it to be. So that open, honest communication, don't things hold things close to your chest because you're tiptoeing in. Once you find a partner and you've had those initial conversations and you've had those questions answered and you decide, hey, this is a signed company I'm going to go with, give them everything that you can, give them all the information that you can, and have them help you get to the end of this journey together.
Sum it up. Help us help you. That's what Absolutely. We're here for. We want to make sure that your brand shines. We have to have the information necessary to do that.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We hope this discussion helped you in your sign buying journey. We've said it several times, but I'll say it again. The best thing you can do is partner with a knowledgeable, reputable sign company.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for joining us today. If you didn't catch our previous episode 38, be sure to check that out. That just gives more insights into the steps that you need to take before you can really begin the signage process. Again, those questions that we just mentioned in our takeaways section, it'll help flesh out some of those questions that you should ask of your sign partner. You can also sign up for our monthly InnoSign newsletter at the link in the description below. And this newsletter just provides more educational resources and insights like what you get here on the podcast. And as always, let us know if there are other signage-related questions that you have for us in the comments below, or let us know what topics you'd like us to talk about next time. And until then, y'all, keep innovating.